And my title for this morning's message is, If It Matters to You, It Matters to God. So, what is weighing on your heart this morning? We know that here in our own small fellowship, we have health concerns, financial concerns, concerns for members of our families who have not yet accepted the free gift of salvation, concerns over our own walk with the Lord, concerns for the fellowship itself, and concerns for our local community, not to mention the world at large. The message that I have been hearing from the Lord over this past week is this: if it matters to you, it matters to God. My mother would regularly speak about the burden that was on her heart for a situation or a person or a need that we had for our daily existence as a family. These burdens were things that really mattered to her. They were genuine concerns that emerged from her life and from the lives of people she had regular contact with. I am confident that each one of us could quickly list at least half a dozen things in our lives right this minute that matter greatly to us. Sometimes the situations that really matter to us seem particularly hopeless. I know that I struggle with that when I consider my children and the fact that not one of them has chosen to accept Jesus as their Savior. I also spent years wondering if the Lord would ever answer my prayers for my husband. Over the decades of my life, there have been so many people and situations that have mattered to me and that I have prayed about quite tirelessly, and then have questioned whether I have been obedient enough for God to hear and answer those prayers. Would the fate of other people be pinned on me because I did not do the right thing at the right time or say the right thing at the right time? My mother's use of the word burden fits my experience. I have spent much of my adult life feeling overwhelmed by the weight of the burden of the needs that have preoccupied me, not because I felt that I needed to sort everything out, as I knew that in all these situations only God could do the work. I felt burdened because I somehow believed that God's willingness to act on my behalf and answer my prayers was dependent upon my own ability to be right with God or righteous. Job's friend Eliphaz the Temanite suggests this to Job in Job chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, If one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. But now it comes upon you, and you are weary. It touches you, and you are troubled. Is not your reverence your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or were the upright ever cut off? Job's friend identified examples of Job's good behavior and the perceived link between our human efforts and God's favor. The burden rests on us and our integrity seems to be the message here. It never actually occurred to me that if I had things on my heart that I cared greatly about, that God would independently care about those things too, and even more so. What I have been learning over the past 10 or more years in a very real way is that God loves me more than I can ever understand, and every single concern I have is of enormous concern to Him as a good Father who wants only the very best for His children. Jesus Himself says this very thing in Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? We do have a bit of a problem, though, and that problem centers in our hearts. How can we be confident that the things that matter to us are appropriate for us to be concerned about? What if our desires are selfish, or perhaps even unhealthy for us or for those around us? We know that we are admonished to guard our hearts. We're told this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And we are warned that our hearts can deceive us. Jeremiah says this in chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What if the things that matter to us are simply desires that spring from our broken human condition and our natural tendency to put every manner of person and thing above God in our hearts? James has this to say, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James puts forward a couple of fundamental principles here. First, we do not have because we do not ask. And second, we ask and do not receive because what we are asking for is selfish, something that we desire for our own self-gratification. As believers, part of the transformation of our hearts and character the Lord brings about over the course of our walk with Him is the alignment of our will with His. We know that we are all works in progress, and we will most certainly find ourselves knee-deep in selfish motives all too frequently. We know, however, that when what we desire is in accordance with His will, He will hear us. We read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if it's according to His will, we know that He will bring it about. We read in Isaiah 55, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it, for which I sent it. God certainly desires many of the things that matter to us. Scripture is filled with examples of his desire to provide us with every good thing we need for life on this earth, as well as what we need within to become the people he would have us be. He cares about our health, about our finances, about the work we do, about the people we love, about the fears we have. The list goes on and on. All the blessings that we have experienced throughout our lives to date have been delivered and continue to be delivered directly from him. James, again, in chapter 1, verse 17, says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." What is not aligned with his will is anything that stands between us and our relationship with him. He paid a very high price to guarantee our reconciliation to him. So anything that matters to us but is something which does not glorify him and serves as an idol in our lives matters to him too, but for very different reasons. Paul explains it this way in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." What should matter to us more than anything else during our time here on earth is that we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and that we learn to be led by His Spirit. It must matter greatly to us to know that our hearts are not deceiving us, and that there is nothing in our hearts that is competing with God as Lord of our life. Like King David, we should be daily surrendering our hearts to the Lord so that he can do the work of cleansing them of our fleshly desires so that we can be led by his Spirit. Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." When our hearts are surrendered to him, and when our heartfelt desire is to want what he wants for our lives, we can then live with the full assurance that what matters to us was placed on our hearts by God himself, and that he will act on the requests we make. Paul again addresses this concept in his letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As we walk in faith and trust in God the Father, God's Holy Spirit communicates to us and teaches us all the amazing things that God the Father has prepared for us to experience. We cannot know these things unless we learn them from the Holy Spirit. And how do we know that what matters to us has been put in our hearts through the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus himself gives us the answer to that. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What must matter to us first and foremost is seeking our relationship with God through Jesus and the righteousness we are gifted when we accept Jesus as our Savior. If that is our number one priority, then everything else that matters to us will be added to us. We cannot, however, live with a foot in both camps. If we continue to want things that feed our flesh and lead us down the path of separation from God and ultimately to eternal condemnation, then we cannot access the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. At our salvation, we have all been given the Holy Spirit as a guide, a companion, a comforter, a truth teller, an educator. The triune God will not impose himself upon us. He will not force us to accept him, nor to be led by him. Every aspect of our relationship with him is an act of faith and trust. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith in the finished work of Christ Jesus, we are adopted into God's family, and what matters to us matters to him. We know that we are his children when we hear his voice and are led by his Spirit. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. What is even more reassuring and quite exciting, really, is that the Holy Spirit personalizes his guidance and instruction for each one of us individually. What matters to me in my life and on my walk will not necessarily be the same as what matters to you. And that makes a lot of sense. We pray regularly that God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. He has an amazing plan for each and every life that is surrendered to Him, and our individual remit contributes to a global furthering of His kingdom here on earth. Have you surrendered your heart to Him? Are you guarding your heart against anything in this world that would draw you away from Him, allowing His Spirit to shine a light on any self-interest and selfish desires that still lurk within? If you are, then you can have confidence that what matters to you was placed in your heart by God in the first place. And you need do nothing more than have faith in Him and trust Him to fulfill His will as you simply follow the lead of the Holy Spirit within you. If it matters to you, it matters to God. I'm going to finish with Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Dear Heavenly Father, it is such freedom. It is such freedom to recognize that what you place in our hearts, things that matter to us, people who matter to us, situations that matter to us, that you are the source of that concern, and that your willingness to deal with those issues is not dependent upon our good behavior. It is fully dependent upon our trust and faith in you, because you are the one who carries these things out. Every unsaved life that we have on our hearts, every financial concern, every health concern, all of the things that we see and we know are part of this broken world and we just want to see repaired, we know, Lord, that that's what you want to. And because you want it, you will achieve it. Your word will not come back void. So, Lord, I just ask that you strengthen each of our hearts, Lord. Let us live lives of confidence and assurance in you and in the power of your Holy Spirit, knowing that as we surrender to you and let go of the world and things that want to vie for attention, that you will honor the cries of our heart. You will answer our prayers. The things that matter to us, you will take care of. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your love, and for your power, and for the Holy Spirit that you give to each one of us to see us through life on this earth until we all meet again when Jesus returns. We thank you in your Son's very, very precious and holy name. Amen.